I know there are some in here who have been believers for years and years, and some who have been believers for years. Short periods of time, long periods of time. What we learn along the way is it ain't all roses. You know, when we first come to the Lord, there's that lifting of our burden, and there's a joy that comes, and there's freedom that comes. And then the journey begins. The journey of walking out our faith under the loving discipline and training of our Father in heaven. And, you know, there are times when you kind of don't feel all jumping up and down about being a believer. But this is something about our faith. And that is, our faith is not grounded in the ups and downs of our experience. Our faith is not grounded in the back and forth of how we're feeling about things at any given time. Our faith isn't rooted in, you know, whether today's a good day or a bad day. You know, oftentimes we're on this roller coaster and we're thinking God is. We're thinking we're standing in one place and that God is up or down. Well, God is good today. Well, God isn't so good today and this next day. And, oh, you know, God's doing good things for me today and He's doing bad things for me tomorrow. Like, we get this idea that we're standing still and that we're the solid rock somehow and that it's God that's moving around. Not true. God is a rock and our refuge and a fortress. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there are things we sang about tonight about His love and about the things that He set in us. He set His hope in us. These are things that don't change with our feelings or experiences. These are things that don't change with circumstances. And I just thought I would spend a little bit of time before we have communion. I don't know what, if this was like an essay, I would call it Why I'm Happy to Be a Christian. Four reasons why I'm happy to be a Christian. And so let's take a look at the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5. And all I want to do is spend a little bit of time bringing to remembrance some truths. Things, reasons to be happy about being a believer in Jesus. Romans chapter 5, starting at verse 1. I'm going to be preaching from Romans 5, verses 1 and 2. And it says, this is Paul talking to the church at Rome. Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, there's a great example of how just a couple of verses are so packed with truth that you could spend time nourishing yourself spiritually on these two verses for a long time. And I'm wondering if you caught the four reasons why Paul was happy to be a follower of Jesus. The first reason comes out in verse 1. It says, therefore, since we've been justified through faith, he spent the first few chapters kind of making a case for, you know what, God, favor with God doesn't come from our earning it through works. Paul makes it clear that we are saved by faith. And he talks about that it's faith that is credited as righteousness. Belief in Jesus. Believing God. Taking Him at His word. But there's something that happens when we take God at His word. There's something that happens when we put our hope, when our faith gets placed in our Father in heaven. And that is, as we believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, as we believe that He is the Son of God, we become justified. I would use a slightly different word just to help us understand the depth of this. Accepted. We're accepted by God. And you know, that's a big reason why I'm happy to be a follower of Jesus. Because in no other faith system can you find unconditional acceptance from our God, from the one who created us. There's no amount of trying to clean myself up that I can do to make myself acceptable to God. I mean, I spent 20 years making myself unacceptable to God. And when I came to a saving faith in the Lord Jesus, one of the things that is the most dear to me is that my God has given me a second chance. My God has taken my past, my sins, and made them of no account regarding my relationship with Him. He accepts me. And that's a wonderful reason to believe in Jesus, to be a follower of Jesus. And that is that we have acceptance in the presence of God. He's not repulsed by us. And you know, maybe you've had an experience or experiences in life where you weren't accepted by others. Where everything's conditional. And even when it is conditional, it seems acceptance is a moving target. Whenever you try to change to be acceptable, all of a sudden you find that the target moved, and now this other thing means that you're acceptable, and then you can spend your whole life trying to be accepted. For believers in Jesus, for us, we have acceptance from God. He doesn't hold our past against us. When we come into His presence, He receives us. And that's a wonderful reason to be happy in Jesus, is it not? Yeah, praise the Lord. So there's one, that we've been justified through faith. Since we've been justified through faith, and here comes the next one, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because God has made us acceptable as we've come to a saving faith in the Lord Jesus, it means not only is our past not held against us. I just sort of want to pause here for a second. Are you holding your past against yourself? If you're a follower of Jesus, then you are doing something that you have no right to do. Because it's God who judges. Can we move God out of the way and say, no, Lord, you're not harsh enough. I want to judge myself. I want to do penance for the rest of my life. My encouragement to you would be to take the Lord's lead. If He has forgiven you your past sins, you have no choice but to forgive yourself of your past sins. Amen? Yeah, I just wanted to add that. Just felt like it would be good. So now, because our past is not held against us by God, we are acceptable in His sight. It means now we have peace with God, relational peace with God. That means we can always come into the presence of our Lord, whether it be to share something that was difficult for us today or whatever. It could mean to share a joy with Him. It could mean to confess sin to Him. We have peace with the only one that it really, really, really matters to have peace with. The one first, anyways. You know, peace with one another is extremely important. But peace with one another without peace from God, that's out of order. Peace with God first. And we have that. It means that when we go to pray, the Lord receives us. And, you know, maybe you've lived a life where peace has been elusive. You know, that wanting peace inside, wanting peace relationally, that those things have just kind of slipped through your fingers. You tried for those things, but it doesn't seem like they're coming. A reason to be thankful that we're followers of Jesus is that we have that peace that's been given to us. We have peace with our God. And again, there is nowhere outside of God that we can find peace, that peace that passes all understanding. And yet, here we are, we're a collection of people who found that peace in Jesus. I'm thankful because I've lived on the earth long enough to see that everybody who's selling peace hasn't got anything really. It's all a sham. People who are promising peace with this kind of meditation or peace with this kind of, you know, sociological whatever. All of these promises of peace are empty except for the promise of peace with God that we have in Jesus Christ. And I know that my experience in life is that no matter how turmoiled things are on the outside, if I can go to my God and know that I have peace with Him, I'm okay. And that makes me thankful to be a follower of Jesus, even especially actually when times are bad. So, therefore, since we've been justified or accepted through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. I'm very thankful to be accepted, to have acceptance from God. I'm very thankful to have peace with God. And I'm really thankful to have grace. The grace in which I now stand. And if you're a believer in Jesus, you are standing by grace in your faith. Now, what does grace mean? Grace has all kinds of definitions, unmerited favor, and etc. And those are all good definitions. But the part of grace that I'm really thankful for is the part of grace that is supernatural enabling. Supernatural enabling. The ability by God's power to do something that we can't do in our own strength. And I know for myself, I've watched over the years the grace of God at work in my life. Things that I used to would do, I don't do no more. Lies that I used to would tell, I don't tell no more. Road that I used to would walk, I don't walk no more. It's been a great change since I've been born. And I really, really love that song because it's theologically huge. Because it speaks of the grace in which we now stand. The fact that God has enabled us by the power of Jesus not only to be saved, but to walk as saved people, to become more and more like the Lord Jesus as He adjusts us, as He changes us, as all that hinders and entangles begins to fall off of us, as sins and addictions that used to plague us, they're not there anymore. And you know, sometimes that's instant and sometimes that's a lifelong fight. But I guarantee you, if you're a believer in Jesus, you have grace to go beyond yourself, to do things that are beyond your own strength, to change things that you couldn't change all by yourself. We have grace because we have gained access to the Father by faith in Jesus Christ. The fact that He died on the cross for our sins, rose again, ascended to heaven, these are the benefits for us as believers. Acceptance from God. Peace with God. Supernatural enabling grace in which we now stand as believers. So there's three reasons why I'm really thankful to be a believer. Why I'm happy in Jesus. And the fourth reason, it comes at the end of verse 2. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Acceptance, peace, grace, hope. And the hope of the glory of God. You know, this is another thing I've learned, is that, you know, we've been given the ability to put our hope in something. Everybody has the capacity to hope. The only trouble is there are so many things that are calling for us to put our hope in them. To put your hope in this brand new car. To put your hope in this new dishwasher. Hope for happiness. Put your hope in this house. Put your hope in this new electronic gadget. Put your hope in meditation. Put your hope in Buddha. Put your hope in who knows. Just put your hope in fill in the blank. And I know over my life, the only hope that is worth my putting into is the Lord. He is a sure hope. And this is the difficulty, because I know living a life without God is hopeless. Somebody who gets a grip on the truth of this can be driven mad by the hopelessness that follows. Because if there is no reason for any of this, everything comes unraveled. It's unreasonable to think there's no reason for any of this, because it's so obvious. We've been given the capacity to see patterns in things. The Lord's given us this capacity. What would just be random otherwise, we can see a pattern. We can see order in things. That's a reflection of the character of God. And He's given us all around us, in the heavens and on the earth and all His creation, the capacity to see God in His creation. Romans 1 helps us out with that concept, that all of creation is trumpeting the glory of God and His character. So in knowing that there's a reason for things and denying that reason, hopelessness follows. And I don't know if you've ever been at that place of despair ever in your life, where it seems like hope just seems like so far away, or just not even on the screen anywhere. The God of hope in Jesus, no matter what our circumstances are, we carry the hope of the glory of God. What hope is, it's the assurance that what we don't see will be seen. The assurance that the way things are, it isn't going to be like that forever. That things will change. And not only that, but that things will change for the better. You know, yeah, maybe you've heard that joke, this conversation between two people, and you know, the one person is really feeling depressed and everything, saying, well, we're all going to die. And the other person saying, well, come on, be positive. Say, well, I'm positive we're all going to die. That's not hope. That's a negative kind of hope that doesn't do the job. I'm talking about hope for something better. The something different is something better. And I just want to, so what was the first thing to be thankful about? Being justified or accepted by God. And the second thing we have is peace with God. The third thing we have is the grace of God in which we now stand. We are enabled to stand in our faith. And the fourth thing is the hope of the glory of God, that we are people of hope. Things are getting better. Mambo sawa sawa. Things are already better as that truth starts to gain ground in our hearts and in our lives. And just to finish on this thing of hope, because I felt like this was something that just to camp on you know, for maybe one more set of verses. If you could go to Matthew 5. Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus ministers hope to the people listening to Him. In Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 3. Well, I'll back up to verse 1. Now when He saw the crowds, Matthew chapter 5, He went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to Him and He began to teach them, saying, blessed, happy. People would envy you because you are that happy. That's what the word means, the fullness of that word. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Hope. Things are as they are right now. You're broken in spirit. You're poor in spirit. It's okay. You're actually in a happy state. Why? Because there's something coming that will bring change to that state of affairs. There's something coming. You will inherit the kingdom of heaven. There's hope for the glory of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. You know, we are comforted in this life. When we mourn, it seems like we're never going to get over it. And maybe we don't in some ways. But the Lord moves us on. But His promise is, even with the struggles, even if we mourn in some fashion for the rest of our earthly life, a time is coming. A time will surely come when the mourning will stop. And it will stop forever. It will stop for good. Hope for the glory of God. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Do you see how He's ministering hope? Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. If not in this life, in the next, because there is a next. That's the point. In fact, most of our life isn't what we're living right now. Most of our life, we haven't even started yet. And we'll live it together in eternity in the presence of God. Well, that'll be nice. It seems like this life can be forever. Sometimes the pain, sometimes the sorrow, sometimes the mourning, sometimes the hunger and the thirst for righteousness, because this place is not heaven. This place is not heaven because we're here. And we've messed it up. The whole human race has managed to mess up this place. But God has reached down and He's speaking hope to us in Jesus. This isn't all there is. This is the message underneath the Beatitudes. This isn't all there is. There's something much better coming. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Brothers and sisters, we are people of hope. Is hope in your heart these days? Are you even thinking about this other part of our life in eternity? Are you considering it? Are you considering it as you make decisions and as you live in this life? Are you feeling downcast, downtrodden because of the circumstances of life? Are you feeling, the French word came first, épuisé, just tired, worn out, exhausted. I'm getting there. I'm getting there. Praise the Lord. Just worn out, emptied out because of the way things are right now. You, if you're a follower of Jesus, you have access to the hope of God. You have access to a truth that this isn't all there is. And you're not facing a great question mark when it's time to die and to live again in eternity. You're not facing a big question mark. You're facing the truth of eternal life with God in Christ. The redemption of our bodies, it says in Romans 8, where we're going to get a new body at the resurrection, at the end of all things. We're going to get a new body that doesn't wear out, that doesn't betray us or you know, let us down. It's going to be different. We're going to be thinking different. The world is going to be different. This is our hope, that we're going to get there and we're going to see that. So I just wanted to make it clear that it's a good thing to belong to Jesus. If you're not even sure that you belong to Jesus, oh, just ask Him into your heart even now. Give your life to Him. And receive the benefit, receive the goodness of God by having faith in Jesus. By having faith in Jesus, we are justified. Our sins are washed away. Our past is taken away in terms of its consequence in our relationship with God. And we are brought into a right relationship with God. We're accepted by Him. And being accepted by Him, it means that whenever we come into His presence now, He's saying, yes, here I am, son. Here I am, daughter. What would you like? What do you want to talk to me about? Share with me. We have peace with our God that passes all understanding. And we also have grace. We have supernatural enablement to go on and do the things that God has called us to do that are beyond us. To change the things in us that God has called us to change that are beyond us. We have that grace. And we also have this final thing, and that is hope in the glory of God. That we are people of hope. We can smile at the future. It would be good to start doing it. Amen. So there we go. Hopefully something to get us thinking as we see communion. He's saying to the Lord, I'm on your team. Saying to the Lord, I belong to you. Yes, Lord Jesus, I accept your invitation to belong to you. I accept your invitation to live the rest of my life on this earth in Christ and to pursue your kingdom and your righteousness, Lord. And sometimes that doesn't feel like such a picnic. But it's important to remember. To be thankful for the reasons that don't change about why it's good to belong to Jesus, why it's good for us to be thankful that we are followers of the Lord Jesus. Amen.